find you. We live in a lost world, don't we? I mean, we live in a fallen society. We live in a place and in a world where we're regularly reminded of people's brokenness, of hurt souls, of our desperate nature. And the gift of the local church in our relationship with God is that we can be used to change people's lives, to make lives better, to be a building block for people, to offer encouragement, to help people take their next step, to make their life more effective and efficient. I mean, what a gift it is that God has given to us and to anybody who wants to be, to make a difference in people's lives. And that's why we've been talking about how are we using the time that God's given us. You see, you can be a source of encouragement that will change a life. And you know that because someone's been an encouragement to you before and they've changed your life. Today, you carry those words with you. You carry that gift with you. You carry that moment of hope that that person gave you years and years ago. And you know what it means to be encouraged. And so you know that encouragement changes lives. Now, I've been told that every scar tells a story. Right? How many of you have scars? Now, we have emotional and spiritual scars and soulful scars. I'm talking about the physical scars. You guys ever see the movie Jaws? And those two guys get into it. Well, I got bit by a shark and look at my ankle. And I got bit by a shark back here. Look at my... Well, let me tell you about the time... Well, let's not go that far, okay? I mean, but we all have scars, right? And scars tell stories. Well, I've got a scar that tells a story of encouragement or a lack thereof. You see, I was in fifth grade and this girl named Susan, I just gave her a hard time like every day. And I would tease her and be ornery with her and, you know, throw spit wads at her and, you know, all those ways that you learn how to become a pastor and a spiritual leader in your life, you know. And so I was just downright ornery to her. And as I look back on it, I say, you know, the reason why I did that wasn't because I didn't like her. I think as a fifth grade boy, we didn't know how else to express ourselves in liking somebody other than to treat the girls like we treated our guy friends at that time. And that is just that stupid. You know, so hey, if you're a fifth grade girl and some guy's just treating you poorly, you can just know that maybe he's got a thing for you. I don't know. But so I was giving this girl a hard time. I was just treating her just terrible all the time. And we were sitting in music class that day and we had those recorders out. Do they still do recorders in fifth grade? Remember when you get your recorder and you do hot cross buns, you know, and all that other stuff? Remember these? I'm bringing back some memories now, right? And for some of you that are in this right now, you understand what I'm talking about. But she went down to sit in front of the chair in front of me. And guess what I did with that chair? I pulled that chair out from under her. So don't ever sit in front of me in Sunday school class or anything else like that. You just never know what's going to happen. But she fell right on her rear end and she was embarrassed. She didn't get hurt. I mean, you know, we were shorter back then and the chairs were smaller. So it wasn't like she got hurt or anything. But, you know, she was embarrassed. She was angry. This is the last straw. And so not only did I get sent back into the back room to write 100 times from the teacher that I will not pull out a chair from underneath my classmate, but she turned around and gouged my arm. I mean, she scratched me big time. And, you know, when something like bleeds over and crusts over, when you're that young, you can't leave that thing alone. So I'm picking at it, you know, weeks later. And I'll tell you here, 20-some, 30-some years later, I have a mark on my arm from that experience. And that mark reminds me of the mark that I probably left in her life, because she certainly left a mark in my life. But see, that mark reminds me of the type of impact we can have in somebody's life. That mark reminds me of the marks that you and I carry with us, that mark that somebody left in our life in a positive way or in a negative way. You see, every scar tells a story, and not just the physical scars, but every scar in our emotions and in our spirit and who we are tells a story, and usually that story includes an encounter with somebody else. So listen to this. If our lives in a negative way can impact and leave such marks, what do you think we can do if we decide to leave positive marks in people's lives? How long-lasting do you think those effects are? Because like me as a fifth grader, this world too often has painful reminders of negative marks that we either leave with somebody else or have been left with us. We're too quick to criticize or try to correct people or quick to tell people what it is that we don't like about them and what it is that they should change. And so that's why no wonder we walk around and we come here today with scars and wounds and hurts and habits and hang-ups. And this isn't a victim mentality morning where we say it's everyone else's fault. We're responsible for some of the choices we make. But 9 times out of 10, there's somebody that's either influenced us in a negative way or in a positive way, and they've made a difference in our life to this point. We just don't realize how powerful and long-lasting our impact can be. And that's the gift of this series, is to take a moment and think about what our lives look like for the past year, for the past 5 years, what our life can look like this year and the next 5 years. Can I look back on this next year and say, hey, I know for a fact that I left a positive deposit. I made a positive mark in somebody's life in a real way. Hey, that whole year wasn't a waste. I didn't just come and live and eat and drink and spend and consume. No, I actually made a mark that's going to live beyond my time here on earth, because it seems like there's never enough time. It seems like time is always ticking away, and the truth is, it is. The world is starving for life encouragement. The world is starving for a positive word spoken, a message of hope. We're starving for friends that will walk alongside of us. We're starving for somebody to lend us an ear and just listen to us and to hear our hurting souls. How can we leave a mark of positive impact and encouragement? That's where we're at this morning. We've talked about touch. We've talked about inspiration. We've talked about motivation. We've talked about encouragement. Somebody reminded me that the last 3 weeks all sounded the same, and the truth is, really, it's the same message, if you think about it. Inspiration, motivation, encouragement, all those really wrap themselves in one another, and all of those are things that you and I can give to change a life. Here are three ways that encouragement leaves a mark on people. Let's just name how important encouragement is. First of all, encouragement produces growth. Did you know that growth in people's lives is our mission as a church? We say our mission on the front of your bulletin is bringing people to Jesus. You know, that's our mission. And that action word, bringing, is not just a passive thing. It's a moment of expression. It's a moment of encouragement. It's a moment of invitation that is to constantly invite people to that next step in their encounter with Jesus Christ, that next building block in their life, that next moment, whatever that is. And that's why you and I exist here in this local church, is to bring people to Jesus. In Thessalonians, it says, encourage one another and build each other up. Encourage one another and build each other up. You see, encouragement leads to growth. And encouragement leads to building one another up. And let's face it, you and I, we need to be built up. That's why we have church once a week, because weeks are tough. Weeks are a struggle. Days are a struggle. Relationships are a struggle. Work's a struggle. And we need to figure out ways to build each other up. And Scripture is very clear that encouragement does just that. We have a responsibility, as given to us in Scripture and in God's Word, not only to receive love from Him and not only to give love back to God, but to help other people have the same experience, to help other people have that moment of growth in God and in Jesus Christ. And we get to look for ways to help make someone's life better, to help make someone's life more effective, more efficient, more connected to God. Now, my two babies, I call Isabella a baby still, but she's 3 years old, going on four, and heck, Elizabeth's not even a baby anymore. She was on ice skates yesterday. I mean, that's crazy. Elizabeth got on ice skates yesterday when we were up there at Fremont. I wasn't up there, but Aaron told me about it. You know, when your parents, you go three different places, don't you? It's kind of divide and conquer. Hey, listen, you take three, I'll take two, and we'll get it all done. Break, right? So I took Austin somewhere else, but yeah, Elizabeth was on skates. But anyways, those two remind me constantly of what it means to build one another's life up, because one of their favorite things for their dad to do for them is to sit down and stack blocks with them. They like stuff to be stacked up high. And the funny thing is the only reason they like to have stuff stacked up high is so they can what? Yeah, so they can knock it over. Hey, life never changes for it, does it? We like to stack things up. I still like to knock things over, you know, right? I mean, it's just kind of fun sometimes to just tear stuff down. But when I help them, I'm able to build a pyramid with them that far exceeds anything that they could do on their own, because I'm sitting there adding building blocks, and I'm also keeping Elizabeth at bay so she doesn't knock it down after the section number two, right? And so we keep adding blocks to that thing and playing together, and they just experience this moment where their life and this design and this pyramid, this tower, is so much bigger because I'm involved as I add building blocks to their life and to that moment. You see, when you encourage someone, you are adding another building block to their life. When you encourage somebody, you're building a foundation for their life. When you encourage somebody, you're starting the first course of a wall that will offer protection for all the harsh things that are out there in that world. You see, when you encourage somebody, you're literally putting or pouring concrete and cement that they can put their feet on, so they have a place to stand, so that when they go through hard times, they can look back on that word, they can look back on you, they can give you a phone call because they know that you're there. You see, encouragement produces growth, and it builds people. Now, you've heard me talk about my blog. It's in the bulletin. I've mentioned it a couple times here recently. I started a blog about a month and a half ago, and you want to know who we should blame for that? Mike. It's all his fault. One day, Mike comes to me and he says, "Hey, John, have you ever thought about blogging?" And as a matter of fact, I had. And for me, blogging was one of those albatrosses out there that I know it'd probably be a cool thing if I did, but I was so overwhelmed by trying to figure out the new technology and the new way to do it that I just never bothered to try to get into it. You ever felt like that in your life? That something is so cool and so neat and so new that it seems actually overwhelming to get involved in it, and you don't even want to begin to devote another mind thing or thought thing to something else to try to figure out how to do it, and let alone maintain it. And so I kind of say, yeah, I thought about it, but I don't know, I'm not too hip on that right now. And so about a week later, he comes back to me and says, "Hey, I was checking out these pastors' blogs, and man, I think that this would do well for you. I think you'd have a way to externalize your thoughts. I think it'd reach the congregation and get more hits on our website. I think it'd just make things better. You know, check this out." And so he kind of brought in a couple other blogs, and I looked at those, and I said, "That's fine." About a week later, he comes back again, and he says, "You know, have you thought about blogging yet? What do you think about that?" And I said, "You know, I don't know, man. I said, I tell you what. Listen, if you put a blog page together for me, I'll maintain it. See, I thought that would, you know, get him to leave me alone, and because he's never going to go and get that done, right? So I figured. And so the next time he comes to me and says, "Why haven't you done that?" Well, because I said, "Well, you haven't started a blog page for me." Oh, about an hour later, he emails me with a link to my blog page. It says, "Here's your new blog." And he says, "Here's a simple way that you register, and here's how you do it." And so now I was stuck. You know, now I had to do this thing. And I've got to tell you, you know, for doing this for a couple months, I found a new enjoyment in my life and a new connection with God. I'm going to confess that to you. I mean, I felt a closer nature to God when I've had a chance to externalize my thoughts on that blog. And I've experienced from some of you that said, "Hey, I've read your blog. It's been cool. It's cool to hear that. I think some people have gotten to know me more because I'm sharing stuff about my life and my family." I have been connected to two long-lost friends from Ocean City, New Jersey, from the two summers I spent there in 1994 and 95 because of my blog. It's made my life better. It's grown me closer to God, and it's made my ministry better and this church better and our website better. And you want to know why? Because Mike took time to encourage me. Don't tell me that your time and your encouragement can't change a life. That is bull. It's about taking time in our life to look at somebody else and say, "Hey, I know you can do this, and I want to come alongside of you and help." I mentioned Ocean City Summer Project in 1994 and 95. Listen, I avoided leaders at Ohio State and that campus for 2 years, ducking them because they constantly invited me to go on a summer project, and I told them I didn't want to do it. As a matter of fact, I decided I was not going to go because they asked me so often to go. I mean, I decided, "Hey, because you asked me so often to go, I'm not going to go." And guess what? I finally did go, and it changed my life. And I've shared those stories with you. And then I went another summer, and I met my wife, and we got married. Listen, if I'd have been a bonehead and no one encouraged me, I might have never been connected to Aaron. I might never be connected to God like I am today. You see, your encouragement can change a life, and you know that in this congregation. How many of you have been to Emmaus in this room? How many of you were encouraged by somebody to go to Emmaus? Now, how many of you just decided on your own, "Hey, Emmaus, I need to devote an entire weekend. I need to throw away my schedule," and you just decided that on your own? No hands? Every single one of you went because you were encouraged by somebody. How many of you have been to this women's conference deal that we've been doing here at this church on Saturday morning? Ladies? Guys, if you raise your hand, I'm going to have to... Some of you have been here cooking breakfast. Good job. Now, how many of you were encouraged to come on those Saturday mornings? How many of those ladies that you think are coming from other churches and other areas are coming because they just happen to find this place on their own and stroll by it on a Saturday morning and say, "Hey, there's a women's conference there"? Absolutely not. They've been encouraged to come. That is a ministry of encouragement. How about Celebrate Recovery? We have people that are starting to get involved in this ministry. The official kickoff is 2 weeks from today. You want to know why people are getting involved in that? Because they're being encouraged to come. Encouragement produces growth. Encouragement also provides endurance. And Hebrews 3, it says this: "See to it, brothers, that none of you has a sinful, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God, but encourage one another daily as long as it is still called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. We have come to share in Christ if we hold firmly till the end the confidence we had at first." Did you know that Satan's work and Satan's presence is there just as much as God's is? Life is tough. It's a race. It's a journey. It's like a triathlon. I mean, it just never quits. There's one event after the other, one issue after the other. And I'm telling you, I'm here to tell you personally, there are stumbling blocks along the way. Maybe you guys have never discovered this, but there are things that are going to trip you up. There are hurts, there are habits, there are hang-ups out there. And life is a struggle with sin and guilt and shame. And you and I can't do this thing called life on our own. We can't have the endurance to make it in life on our own. We need people who can come alongside of us when we're feeling down. people that can fill us with energy when we're frustrated, and they can come and we can shed tears when we're tired together, and they can offer us fun opportunities when we feel like a failure, and there's just moments where we feel like we're no good, or we feel like we're a bad person, or we're just not getting it. And we just need that encouragement from someone else to take that next step, to keep going, to pick ourselves up, or actually let somebody else pick ourselves up, because sin is such a damaging thing. I mean, it even says here, hey, brothers, that none of you has a sinful, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God. Did you know that your life can turn somebody to the living God? To the living God? It's so easy to be down in this world. I mean, everywhere we go, we can receive discouragement. We don't even have to pay for it. I mean, it's free out there. We don't have to work for it. It's easier to give somebody criticism than it is a positive word. I mean, it's so easy to find the fault in somebody. It's so easy to let somebody know what they should do or they should change. And it's harder to look at somebody and just look them square in the eye and give them praise or to say thank you or to lift those things up. And boy, when we're already struggling in an area like Aaron and I with our parenting, you know, what we need is we need encouragement in that moment. You know, we need to say, hey, we understand that you're struggling because we have five kids and a couple of them have some extra special issues that we continue to work with. And it's a struggle for us. There's nights where we go to bed and we wonder if we're good parents. We wonder if we've made a mistake. We wonder if we've blown it. We wonder why nothing we do works. You know, we have doubt that creeps into our life. And you know, in those moments, we're vulnerable, folks. We're vulnerable. Listen, I'm here to tell you, if you walk up to me and tell me I'm a lousy parent in one of those moments, you're going to have an impact in my life. In a big way, because I'm already vulnerable. Aren't we already there in some areas in our life? I mean, we're already vulnerable. And so in that moment, what we need is a positive word of encouragement. Well, recently, we experienced some negativity in that area, and it really, really stung from somebody. And it hurt deeply. And it hurts. Why? Because we already feel lousy in life, don't we? We don't need another source of discouragement. We can get that anywhere. So we ought to be able to come to church and get what? Encouraged. Because everywhere else in life is just waiting to offer that moment to us. Life has a lot of stumbling blocks, and we can literally encourage each other in our struggles to stay the course and to run the race. And like Scripture says here, see to it, brothers, that none of you has a sinful, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God. That you can literally turn people to the living God. Here's the third thing encouragement does. It prevails in hope. It prevails in hope. Encouragement gives us hope. This is why we come to church. We come to church to get hope. In Job, it says, you yourself have encouraged those who are about to quit. Your words have put stumbling people on their feet. They put fresh hope in people about to collapse. You ever feel like there's moments in your life, and I've already shared one with you with our parenting, where you just feel like you're stumbling and bumbling and fumbling through life? And I know I'm not making the grade right now. This ain't clicking. This ain't working. I mean, I don't care who you are or what you do. We're all going to have those seasons in life where we feel like that. And you know, in those moments, here's what we're thinking personally. We're thinking, hey, I hope my broken relationship won't defeat me, whatever our issue is. Hey, I hope my health issue won't define me. I pray that my finances won't drown me. I pray that my doubt won't ground me, and I pray that my anger won't get the best of me. Now, you can fill in the blanks, whatever your issue is, but that's our prayer. That's why we come here on Sunday morning. That's why we bother to engage in conversation and come alongside of people. That's why we're starting Celebrate Recovery. That's why we meet on Wednesday nights at my place. That's why we have a women's event that happens on Saturdays, what, four times a year I think we're going to be doing. That's why we invite people to Emmaus. That's why people bug me to death to go to Ocean City, right? Because we need hope. We need a word from Jesus Christ. We need a positive word spoken to us from somebody that lets us know that we're not as messed up as we think that we are. We got a letter recently from a family where some of you have given them your time and you wound up encouraging them whether you realize it or not. And you see, the gift of when we extend our encouragement to somebody is they extend encouragement back. So here's a letter of encouragement for this congregation. I'd like to thank you guys for your generosity and of our time and need. I cannot begin to explain how grateful we are. Thanks to you, our prayers were answered. And I know I've spoken about this many times at my place table. See, if you're not coming to my place on Wednesday nights, you're missing out. I know I've spoken about this many times at my place tables, but in the past year, I have seen more prayers answered than ever before. You are an amazing church family, seeing our troubles and helping at a time of need. We are so overwhelmed by how wonderful our experience at Old Fort Church. I didn't write this. I mean, I couldn't write it any better than this. This is their letter. We are so overwhelmed by how wonderful our experience at Old Fort Church has been. It's hard to believe just over a year ago we were led to you, and over the course of that 1 year, how many relationships we have made and how many lifelong friendships we have encountered. You see, it's the relationships that make a difference, isn't it? You are truly a blessing to our family. We hope that one day we can, quote-unquote, pay it forward and show someone the power of God's grace and His amazing love and how He instills that in us. You are wonderful people, and we love you, and we thank you, and we are so proud to be a part of the Old Fort Church family. How does that make you feel to hear that? Is there one of you in this room that's discouraged by hearing that letter? No, it's the complete opposite of that. It's an encouraging thing to hear. You see what happens here? A group of you offered this family encouragement, and now they're beginning to come in encouragement to other people. You see, encouragement's contagious, and we all need it. And with that encouragement, you guys brought this family hope. You're the hands and feet of Jesus Christ. You offered your time and your encouragement, and it brought them hope. That's what Acts 2 is all about. That's what that Acts 2 community thing is all about. People coming together and offering their time to one another and their touch and their inspiration, their motivation, and their encouragement. And they live in life together, and they're going from house to house together. They're sharing all their possessions and goods together. And you just get a great sense that there is some hope and there is some encouragement and there is some enthusiasm, because all of a sudden God's doing incredible things in their midst. Why? Because they're giving their time to one another and they're growing together. And we've taken a lot of great steps towards that. This is a sign of that. But the good news is, as a church, we've got a lot of great work we can do as we step towards that as well. Here's three ways that we can be an encouragement to others. Three new steps that we can take, or three building blocks that we can have in our life. And the first one is this. We can leave a mark with our mouths. Leave a mark with your mouth. A positive mark, as my daughter refers to it, as I shared last week, your pie hole. But she's not getting off. I got so in trouble for that. I'm just in trouble with that one. How can you tell her to say no when you just laugh every time she says something? It's one of those negative reinforcement things we do as a parent when our kids just do or say something so funny that they shouldn't be doing it, and we laugh at them and we say, don't do that while we're laughing. It just doesn't work that way. You know, our mouths are interesting things. I mean, we cram food in it. We take oxygen in through it. We let carbon dioxide go out of it. We take drink in and we let words fly out of it, and sometimes our food goes back out of it. I mean, our mouths are kind of interesting things, but our mouths are powerful. And we have the power to lift somebody up to the highest heights, and we have the power to crush and annihilate somebody in a few seconds. Why don't we watch this video and just kind of think about what influence our mouths are. There's a real domino effect that happens when we speak words to people in a positive way or in a negative way. In Job it says here, but my mouth will encourage you, comfort from my lips would bring you relief. Let me think about that for a second. Did you know that your lips can comfort, literally, and soothe someone's soul? That you can reach right inside of someone's life with your words and change and challenge them? That you can offer them comfort? That you can help them take a next step? That you can help them grow up in their life? You can help them get better? You can help them feel better about themselves, about life, about others? You know, words are powerful, powerful things. And I think sometimes we just don't realize just how powerful they are when we freely throw them out there, or we haven't given enough time and thought to think about what's going on in that person's day before we light them up, or whatever it is that we've been through in our life when we've encountered somebody and we've offered words. I know I've been there. But those are powerful moments and powerful things that can alter someone forever. You know, harmful negative words can stunt growth. They can hold people back. Literally, harmful words can paralyze somebody from progress in their life and growing closer to God, or growing closer to anything for that matter. I mean, just take a look at this new game show. Actually, I don't want you to take a look at it, but there's this new game show out there called, what is it called here? The Moment of Truth. And I have to tell you, just by seeing the previews of that show, I'm thinking, here is a show designed for people to encourage them to say negative things about people in their life so that they can destroy themselves. And in the end, they might get a couple $100,000. Now I'm here to ask you, are harmful words towards somebody else worth a couple $100,000? Some of us might say yes, but I'm here to say no, it's not. I mean, if you've just seen the commercials, there's guys that divulge things about their relationship with their wives and their feelings about other people and their stigmas and taboos about other things. And the line is, in advertising the show, and it says it could be the greatest show ever or the end of modern civilization as we know it. And I tend to think it's probably towards the latter. And I've never said this to you about anything on TV before, but I would discourage you from watching that show. I've probably never offered my opinion like that before in anything, but I'm just not sure there's too much value from that show. Now, I'm a reality TV guy, don't get me wrong, but there's just not anything helpful when you sit down and just lambaste somebody verbally like it's happening in that place and in that moment. You know, our mouths and our words are powerful tools and instruments. And it is so much easier for us to point out people's faults. But the problem is when we want to change and correct somebody in a positive way, you know, because, working with somebody to change a life isn't a bad thing. Offering criticism isn't a bad thing. But the problem is you and I don't have enough change in our pocket when we do that. Now listen in for a second, because this is important in any relationship that you're in. A lot of us are in struggling relationships because we've been spending time trying to fix the other person when we're the one that needs to be fixed. And the problem is when we try to fix the other person, we don't have enough change in our pocket. What do I mean by that? I'm not rich enough? Well, no, that's not it. Every time I offer a positive word of encouragement to somebody, every time I send somebody a letter of encouragement, anytime I do something encouraging to somebody, I'm literally putting change in my pocket in my relationship with them. It's a building block. So that later, if there is a moment where I can come alongside of them and offer redirection or a new commitment or say, hey, you know, I want to come alongside of you. I notice you're struggling here. Guess what? I have enough change in my pocket to come to them and do that. See, the problem in our lives right now is we're going to people and we're offering criticism or we're offering ways that they could be changing, and we haven't said anything positive to them in a year or a month or weeks, and yet we've got 10 things that we know that they need to change, and we don't have enough change in our pocket, and we're living a deficit relationship. And see, positive words of encouragement will build change in your pocket. I share this example every time I counsel somebody in a relationship that's broken or not working. And have this conversation that says, well, how much change do you have in your pocket? How many times have you spent building this person up so now you have an opportunity to encourage them in growth? It's about having enough change in our pocket. Here's the second thing, leaving a mark with your ears. Leave a mark with your mouth, leave a mark with your ears. There's not a more encouraging moment in life than to have somebody listen to you and to listen to the issues in your life. In Hebrews it says, we should keep on encouraging each other to be thoughtful and to do helpful things. Some people have gotten out of the habit of meeting, but we must not do that. We should keep on encouraging each other, especially since you know that the day of the Lord's coming is getting closer. What does it say the source of encouragement is here? Having a habit of meeting together. What do you do when you meet with somebody or you hang out with somebody? You spend a lot of time listening. Now, a lot of us find it easier to talk than it is to listen. And what we need to do is to continue to focus on how can we listen to people, because listening is just as powerful as sharing a positive word with somebody. Because when we listen, we let somebody know that they're not alone, that they matter to us, that they can feel cared for, and that they're a part of our concern. And we can change and challenge them in that moment, even though we're just sitting there and we're listening to people in our life. That's why the conversations at my place are so funny. I mean, we have these small table groups that meet on Wednesday nights, and then I kind of lead the larger group. And so often when I'm trying to pull it back into the larger group, the smaller groups can't be quiet because they're just talking so much with one another. They're sharing their life. They're opening up, and they're talking to people about what's going on in their hearts. And guess what? People are there listening. I mean, how often do you have a moment in your life, in your week, where four people will sit down and listen to you tell a story about your life and not judge you? I can't think of any other places. And that's why every single one of you needs a small group, a Sunday school class, or an experience like Wednesday night on my place. Because we need moments where we can be heard and we can feel connected. And I know there's times in the life of our church where we don't feel connected and we get frustrated with things. We say, well, I just don't feel connected right now. Well, the question we have to ask ourselves is, are we? If we're just coming on Sunday mornings, then we will never feel connected to this body of Christ. We've got to have something beyond this where we can sit in a group. Scripture tells us, don't get out of the habit of meeting together. Why? Because it's important to our encouragement. Here's the third piece. Leave a mark with your hands and feet. First with your mouth, with your ears, and now with your hands and feet. We can be the hands and feet of Jesus. That's something that you've heard from us time and time again in this church. In 1 Thessalonians it says, gently encourage the stragglers and reach out for the exhausted, pulling them to their feet. Be patient with each person, attentive to individual needs. Look for the best in each other, and always do your best to bring it out. Always do your best to bring it out. Now, Aaron 2 weeks ago shared a story about how Isabel is now skating, and that just kind of inspired all of you. It inspires me because, you know, she's just somebody that grew up with complications in her life, and in a lot of ways, when she was first born, we didn't know what she was going to be capable of, and now she's ice skating, for goodness sakes. But you want to know what? She has an instructor that walks with her out there on the ice. And what does that instructor do when Isabel starts to slip? She picks her up. What does she do when Isabel kind of gets tired? She's there to put her hands underneath her shoulders and gives her stability. You know, what does she do when Isabel can't move any further forward? She helps her move her skates forward herself and literally grabs her ankles or her leg and helps her take that next step. You know, literally our hands and feet can be opportunities to help the stragglers, to help the exhausted. And listen, we've all been there before. And we all know people right now that are just exhausted by life and the issues are just too great for them to handle. And when we offer our time, we can offer empathy and compassion and a shoulder for somebody to lean on. Last weekend, I went home after preaching, and my family, my folks were up, Elizabeth had a mark on her face, and I said, what's that mark on her face? And she says, well, she fell asleep on my shoulder, my mom said. And I just thought about that. I said, how many people have a mark on their face right now because you gave them a shoulder to lean on? How many people have a mark today because we were there for them with our hands and our feet and with our very lives to say, hey, I'll pick you up in this moment? Whose face has a mark on it right now because you let them lean on you? That goes back to the Acts church moment. This Acts 2 church is a moment where they walked together. They gave their time together. They encouraged each other. They shared life together. I would believe that every single person in that church has a mark on their face right now because they've leaned on one another. Because there is weariness in life, and that weariness will keep us from the throne of grace and from Jesus Christ. What is it that God can do in us and through us? It's easy for people to fall away. It's easy for people to get exhausted and to get tripped up. And we see it in the life of the church. We have our friends that come to church on a regular basis, and then they've been to church 12 straight weeks, and then all of a sudden they're not there for a month or 5 weeks, and we wonder where they're at. Well, maybe we go beyond a step of wondering where people are at, and we send them a note of encouragement that says, "Hey, I'm thinking about you." Or we give them a phone call that says, "Hey, you matter to me. We've missed you. How are you doing?" See, that's something that I try to do every week. I try to write 3 notes to people every Monday when I get into the office. Why? That's something that we can all do. I'll get a note from Kathy Oliver every once in a while that says, "Hey, I just want to tell you, great job. Thanks for doing what you're doing." I'll get an encouragement from Andrea Almer. She'll come into the office every once in a while just to say, "Hey, is there anything you need prayer for in your life? I'm praying for you, and thanks for what you do." I mean, these moments of encouragement are huge. And I'm trying to follow up on all these people that I haven't seen in a while just to find out what's going on in their life. And the truth is, all of us can do that, right? We can all encourage. We can all motivate. We can all say, "Hey, we love you. Where have you been? How are things going?" If someone's fallen out of a place or they're struggling, and instead of just lending an ear and to commiserate, why don't we step up and say, "Hey, let me encourage you in this. Where is this place that we can get connected? What is it that we can do together? How can we walk in this thing? How can we figure this out together? How can I pray for you?" Because it's so easy to find fault, and it's so difficult to offer that positive word. What changes and choices can we make with the time that we're offering people? Where is your time being invested right now? Is our time in our hands, or is it in God's hands? Who are we serving with our time? Can God use your time, your touch, your inspiration, your motivation, and your encouragement to make a mark in somebody's life? Because this is a weary journey that we have. Even being involved in the church is a weary thing. And we exist to get each other's back and to pick each other up and to walk from house to house and issue to issue together and to do this thing called life with one another. I just want to take a time to pray right now. There's a couple of action steps for you. I'm going to let you look at those on your own. I just want to say a prayer right now, and then I want to show you a video. God, every single one of us comes today with something on our heart, an issue that we're dealing with. Maybe it's a hurt, habit, or hang-up, or a frustration with somebody or something, or maybe somebody's frustrated with us. God, whatever that is, God, we pray that you'd work in our life right now, that you'd help us understand the impact that we could have in people and the impact that people have on us. God, we pray that because of this month in January, you will cause us to evaluate our time and our commitment to you and your kingdom. God, it's not about doing things because we're told to do them. God, it's about doing things for you and your kingdom because we can make a difference in this world and in people's lives. We can leave a mark. God, help us to do that. God, we pray for those requests that are in our bulletin right now of people that are hurting physically or emotionally or spiritually, recovering from hospital beds or surgeries. God, we lift up our troops that are in harm's way right now. Whatever it is that either goes spoken or unspoken in our hearts and our lives right now. God, we give those to you, and we ask you to do a work in our hearts. God, we lift up this new ministry called Celebrate Recovery, and we pray that you would do a new thing in it, and that you would change our hearts and you would challenge us all to realize that there is healing and that there is hope out there as we work with one another. It's in your name we pray. Amen. I really, really enjoy the work that God